Pink Whale Nuts Garage.
And welcome to another edition of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. I'm Eric Walker, filling in for host emeritus, the Laughing Buddha, on this beautiful first Friday of August, is just coming around the corner in his just immaculate shop filled with tools and implements and oils of all viscosities.
Ooh, yes.
The one and only Faye Driver.
My favorite oil is coconut oil, actually.
Ooh.
Which is very nice for massaging your tools.
Yes, sir.
That was quick.
Hello, Eric. How are you?
Oh, I am in good spirits. Our cars are doing well so far, and I'm enjoying the conversation tonight. I'm looking forward to good conversation tonight.
Yes, we're going to have a great conversation. Actually, you know, we didn't get to do a sound check before the show started, so I don't know if I sound okay because I've changed my microphone and broadcasting settings, so I hope I sound okay.
You sound, as always, velvety voiced and ready for action.
I get that a lot, actually. Well, that's good. Now, Eric, we're going to talk to you a little bit later about the big adventure you went on, and of course, Eric has some car problems that he's going to tell us about.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into that, we're going to introduce our other guests. I guess we should introduce the person who's sitting beside you, and that is Brenda Boo. Hello, Brenda.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, in fact. I'm in high spirits because there's been a lot of really fantastic things happening for me.
Yes.
Which we'll get into shortly.
Will you describe some of the workmen who have been at your house when you get to that point, please?
Yes, I will gladly describe what's been going on around the castle here.
Excellent.
Also joining us from across the pond, it's the RT Cruiser in Australia. Hello, RT Cruiser.
Good morning, all.
Yes, how are you this morning?
I'm very well, and I don't want to hear about the work going on. I just want to hear about the workmen.
Well, the work is finished, I'm very happy to say, so... I will talk to you about the workmen. It's not going to be that great, though, but we'll get into it. Now, folks, we have a very special guest today, and that is someone joining us from Arizona, someone who's never been on the show before, and it's Brian from the Game Night Guys. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
You played hooky to come join us tonight. I appreciate that.
I did. I'm at an appointment right now.
Right. Well, thank you for taking time in your schedule and booking a very important appointment so that you could be here with us.
Well, thanks for asking me. I appreciate it.
Did you specify to people at your work exactly which appointment this was, or did
I used the vague term appointment. They probably think I'm at a job interview.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good. You want to keep them guessing.
And I usually do.
Yes. Well, thanks for being here. You have some exciting news we're going to get into. We're going to hear about what's happened for you, a big secret, which you wouldn't share. Well, you shared somewhat on your show, Game Night Guys, with Curtis, but you were very non-specific, and I'm going to grill you about what happened for you this last week, I guess. Was it this week or maybe a week ago?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago. All right. Well, we'll get into that. We're talking about a new car for Brian, that is. Now, people, you may have noticed that the Laughing Buddha is not here. He has a very important work to do this evening. He's hosting some very good friends from Canada. So he was not able to join us here in the Pink Winlet's Garage.
Mm.
So Please excuse him tonight. He will be back next week, next Friday, on the next Pink Wheelnuts Garage.
And he has good news, too.
Yes, he has very exciting news as well. Talking about new cars, which he's going to tell us about next week. All right, so, folks, what the hell? What's going on? I guess we should introduce people who are here joining us in the chat room. Eric, do you want to tell us who's here?
You know, I'm going to defer that to my producer since she does not let me see the computer while we're doing this. I'm just going to let her.
Shut up. He's just on the other side of the table.
I don't get to touch the keyboard. She's chatting it up with the folks in the chat room, which include
Big Fatty. Even though he says he's not at his keyboard, he still seems to be typing. So Big Fatty.
He's using the force.
Musing of the Mark here. And Joey of Cocktails and Cream Puffs. And then us.
He's That's not really here. Jets, he's... Joey is asleep.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think he's here.
Sweet dreams, Joey.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody who's here in the chat room and joining us from Pride 48. Now, for people who are joining us or who are listening in the chat room, we'll be posting pictures and things of all the stuff we're going to talk about. If you're listening afterward, as in you're not joining us live, if you look at the screen on your computer or your device, you will see any pictures that might be posted because we're going to be displaying some lovely pictures of new cars and things. So now, Eric, I want to get right into what you've been doing the last week or so. You've had quite an exciting adventure racing your bicycle across Iowa.
Yes.
Tell us about Ragbri.
Ragbri Register's annual great bike ride across Iowa. It's a ride that was started back in 1973 by two Des Moines Register journalists, and it has grown to become the world's biggest bike ride.
Wow.
It goes from border to border. Typically, we dip our back tires in the Missouri River, which is the western border of our state. And then after 7 days of riding and drinking and having fun, we dip our front tires in the Mississippi.
And wow.
This year, it was 418 miles. We covered the northern portion of the state. And it was actually my first time actually being able to do all 7 days. And I loved every single mile of it.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is quite an accomplishment, I think. 400 plus miles on a bicycle.
Yeah. Now, understand, it's a ride, not a race.
Yeah.
I've been training for it ever since, gosh, April. Well, I ride my bike a lot. I love riding my bike.
I love to ride my bicycle.
I do. But when I was asked to be a part of Ragbri with our friends from across the street, Abby, our wonderful friend and lesbian mechanic, well, she is.
Yeah.
I started doing a little more writing. So I was trying to put in like 20 or 30 miles a day and 60 miles on the weekend.
Wow.
Can I say that Eric was at a disadvantage too, because the bike that he rode was 20-year-old bike.
It's been my bike. It was my birthday gift for me when I was 14 years old.
You're kidding.
I've had it for 25 years. It is a road bike. I mean, it was, you know, when I got it at 14, it was considered a very nice high-end road bike for the time.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays they look at it and say, but
you got gears on that bike, Sonny?
Yeah. So I still made, on the days that we were doing about 70 miles, I would do 70 miles in just a little over 4 hours, about 4.5 hours.
Really, eh?
Hmm. Yeah. So the only, I did get passed by Lance Armstrong, but that was a whole nother story.
Really? Lance Armstrong joined you guys?
Yes. Lance Armstrong rides Ragbri now that he's not able to ride that other race that was going on at the same time.
Right. The one in France?
Yeah. So we all welcome him because we don't care, whatever.
Yeah.
But, they said early on, if you see a string of like seven bikers passing you fairly swiftly, check out the rider that's in the middle. If he's wearing a black and white jersey that makes a reference to like Texas Bike Club, that it's Lance Armstrong. And as I was riding, sure enough, zip, zip, you know, these bikes are going by me, and I looked, and right about the time that I caught the little, because he's a little shorter than you actually imagine, black and white jersey, and he turned, looked right at me, pointed, and smiled, you know, one of those kind of things. And I went, oh, it's Lance Armstrong. So I got passed by.
I like short men myself.
Well, you know, I have, I'm indifferent. I can't.
Especially wait. In bicycle suits.
Yeah, sure. Wonderful.
Hey, Bunny, tell them how many people died this year.
Two people died. But they didn't die in the ride. The first night, a 67-year-old man died of a heart attack in his tent. He was a bike designer that had, this would have been his 30th RagBri. And then on like day three, a 73-year-old man died of quote unquote.
Oh my goodness.
Causes. But he had been riding the RagBri since 1982. So every year, never missing it. We did get one guy get injured really bad. We were on the last day, we were going through Amish country. And it was really cool because these hills were super steep that I was going down it. And on my bike, I was reaching close to 50 mile an hour going downhill. Oh, so great. But there were some cracks in the road. And a guy, as he was going down the hill, he put his front tire in the crack. And he...
Oh, no.
Owie.
So they had to bring in the ambulance. He was mangled pretty bad.
Oh, too bad.
It happens.
Well, that's good. What's the death rate like this year compared to other years?
Well, and again, I don't even consider those deaths as a result of the ride because they died in their tent. And one guy, they even said, died of natural causes at 73 years of age.
It's still not that old.
It's
usually about one person a year ends up croaking. It's older. Usually an older guy have a heart attack.
They always, heart attack.
Because it's really hot. But how many thousand people were on this ride?
At any one given time, there was between 7,000 and 10,000 riders.
You're kidding. Wow.
Yeah. That's big deal.
It's like I said, I'm not lying when I say it's the world's biggest bike ride.
That's amazing. What a logistical nightmare.
Since this came out in 1973, there are rides all over the country that have started as a result of the popularity of RagBri.
Really?
Plus, you know, they set up these towns where they will stop. It's predetermined. And sometimes the amount of people that infiltrate the town are bigger than the town itself.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll double the town size.
Double, triple. It's been great. You know, every night that we go to a new city and you camp there. And they have entertainment and they have all kinds of vendors and restaurants and everything's open their doors. And it's just this... The alternate name is the Great Beer Run across Iowa. But, you know, after you get done riding 70 miles and you sit down, you suck that first beer down like it's water and it tastes so good. So, but it's a dream come true. The first time I saw this ride, I was, I'd just gotten a bike. I was 14 years old and they went through my town. And I was just enamored by it. All these people that loved riding bikes and they were so happy. And I thought, you know, someday I want to be able to do that. And I've just never been able to take the whole week off to do it. And I finally have gotten to the position where I was like, I'm the boss. Fuck it. I'm taking it. And I just absolutely loved it. I'm going to do it again and again and again.
Wow, that's awesome. Does anyone have questions for Eric about RagBri?
No, but he's shaming me. I can't even get on my bike to get in the shops. So I'm too lazy.
Yeah, you're biking all the time, RT Cruiser.
It's a bit cold at the moment.
Oh yes, cold at 20 degrees room temperature.
Well, it has been, but we're in another polar vortex at the moment. It's dropped down to about 15.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know.
What is that in Fahrenheit?
60, 55 or 60.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's been dipping down to 50 every single night all
That's
month.
Like heaven. The windows are open.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's been a very mild winter. I haven't even had to get my big coat out to go to work.
Can I ask this question Musing Mark has posed in the chat
room? Yes, go ahead.
Musing Mark would like to know if you got a case of the bike butt. Sorry.
No. A lot of people ask that. But good bike shorts and a proper seat and getting up every so often to walk around a bit prevents chafing and bike butt.
So you don't use that stuff?
Chamois.
Isn't there some special stuff that guys use down there?
Yeah, it's called chamois butter.
Oh.
But no, I just, you keep it clean, you keep it dry.
Is it from sheep? Is chamois butter from sheep?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't use it, so I don't know what the active ingredients of it are. But I've always just, you know, keep it clean, keep it dry. Keep it safe.
I offered to get him some stay-free maxi pads to do a little extra cushioning.
When I first got started writing, they used to say that the serious writers shaved their legs, partly because of wind resistance, but part because when you had an accident and got road rash, it was easier to treat. Mm-hmm. And the way they treated it was they used to carry Kotex pads. Mm-hmm. Because, and I'm not talking the big fat new Freedom ones that you're like, oh my God, what the hell? No, they're just the little sanitary napkins because it's, you could take and just go slap it right onto the leg and it was, you know, sanitary and it would treat it.
Right. That's very.
Although it's very odd to be riding into town with a Kotex strap. You'll have much explaining to do.
So did you have any accidents, Eric, or any difficulties on the ride?
No. Abby had an accident, and she's in a cast now.
Oh, no.
On the second to last day, she had completed the ride, and she was coming into our campground, and she was literally 10 feet away from her tent. And there was a little girl that was biking around the park at the time, and she pulled out in front of Abby. And Abby reacted and, of course, crashed in the process and broke her elbow.
Oh, no.
So she's in a cast.
That's terrible.
And she's in a cast for 6 to 8 weeks.
And you should see what the little girl looks like.
Ah. But myself,
fix Brenda's car.
Myself, I my ring finger and my pinky fingers for a good 4 days after the race, they wouldn't straighten.
They really from gripping,
But they said that's common, and my fellow cyclists that were in my group came in, told me what to do, gave me some exercises and things like that, and it's actually working itself out.
You know what I had to do right before we started recording?
I don't know if we want to know.
she had to give me a manicure because I can't use the clippers yet.
So I cut his fingernails. So my home health care licensing should be coming anytime now.
But they adjusted my handlebars, so I shouldn't have that problem anymore.
Oh. Well, what a great adventure. I'm so happy for you.
You're always welcome to come next year. I can send you the information, Faye.
All right. Well,
I like it. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Can I bring a motorcycle?
Sure.
Well, listen, folks, we have, you know, here on the Pink Winlet's Garage, we like to celebrate anytime somebody gets a new car. So we're going to turn our attention to Brian from the Game Night Guys because you made this kind of innocuous announcement on the last episode of the Game Night Guys where you were so busy and you just squeezed in going to the dealership to get a new car and you wouldn't tell us what kind of car you got.
I forgot to tell you. That's the thing. When I was editing the program, I heard that back and I thought, oh shit, Faith Driver is going to send me an email or something. And you did.
I certainly did. The very before I even finished listening, I sent you an email. So would you like to tell us what you did exactly? What happened for you?
Do you mean like the whole process of getting a car? Well,
first of all, tell us what kind of car you got. We're all dying to know. What is it?
I have a 2014 Hyundai Elantra SE.
Sorry.
We're so excited that we had to play the music again.
Premature.
Musication. Congratulations, and a lovely car that it is. I love the color. You know, I'm a fan of blue, by the way. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I've posted in the chat room a picture of Brian's new car, and if you're listening after the live show, you can look at your device and see what kind of see the picture of Brian's new car. How did this all go for you? It seemed to be a very quick process.
It was. I had an Elantra previously. I had a 2002 Elantra that I really liked. So I knew I wanted to get the same. I actually went in just to get the same kind of car I had before. And so I actually wanted a silver one.
Oh.
Because that's what I had before. And lighter colors tend to do a lot better here in the desert.
Oh, yes.
Where it's very warm. And they didn't have any.
Let me interrupt you if I might.
Sure.
Or is it because you didn't want anybody to know how successful and fabulous you are that you buy a new car every 12 years?
12 years.
So you wanted a silver car so it would look exactly like the last one?
Exactly. But they didn't have silver. So the one I first test drove was what they called desert bronze, which was this sort of beige color.
Oh, yes.
And the whole time I was sitting in it, I was just like, this feels like a grandmother car. Like, I don't think I can drive this car.
Mm.
And so this was the second one they showed me. And the moment I got into it, I just knew it was going to be my car.
Aww. It's a lovely looking car, actually. It looks very nice.
Thank you. I never really thought about getting a blue or a dark colored car before, but.
And the Elantras are really nice.
This car is very sporty looking for a sedan, I have to say. Like, the interior is like being in a cockpit or something. It's very sleek looking.
And the technology in these new cars just blows me away. I'm quite jealous that it looks like you've got a nice big screen. Is that a touch screen?
It does have some touch features on it. So if I'm like listening to like the radio or something, I can hit the play button on there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few controls on the steering wheel also.
Oh, yes.
Mainly like a mute or change track or something.
And do you have Bluetooth capability and that kind of stuff for your phone?
It does. And in fact, when I test drove the car, he was showing it to me and he synced my phone in with the car immediately.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
And I thought, well, I better get this car now because all my shit, my numbers and everything are in it now.
Right.
I've
just
it also has the function to do like phone calls. Like, there's a little speaker above my head.
Oh, yes.
That it connects with my phone, and I can press a button and say like, call Brenda Boo, and it wouldn't do anything because I don't have Brenda's number. But
just that phone call.
Theoretically, if I did, it would call Brenda Boo.
Oh, mm-hmm. Let me get you that number.
So 1-306.
So what part of Arizona do you reside, Brian?
I live in Scottsdale, which is a suburb of Phoenix.
I have to ask because 2 weekends before RagBrai, I moved my parents to Arizona.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, but they are well south of you. They're in a little town called Sonoyta.
I don't even know that town.
Do you know where Sierra Vista is?
I've heard of that, but I don't know where it is.
It's like 12 miles from the Mexican border.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Way down there. So,
how was that trip anyway, Eric?
I can sum it up with one story.
please go ahead.
This is, in a nutshell, is how the trip went. It's 9:30 on Saturday night. We are in a spillover parking lot in a New Mexico McDonald's. My sister, her husband, their two children, my mother and father are screaming at each other for various reasons. I get into the U-Haul truck and grab my bag and step down to where my mom says, Eric, where are you going? I turn around and say, fuck you all. I'm going to the hotel. I take about 5 or 6 steps and dad's like, but we're going to supper. I turn around and say, fuck you all.
Oh,
I'm
bro.
Going to the hotel.
Oh, dear.
Well, that sounds like a family outing.
Oh, yeah.
What day was this of the trip?
Two.
Day two.
It doesn't take much. Brenda's right for not hanging around my family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, but anyway. No, I'm sorry, Brian. You had said you were from Arizona, so I just wondered. Do you obviously you were choosing silver before because of, you know, your location and does better. Do you worry that blue is or a darker color will you'll have hot car?
I do. So currently I have covered parking where I live and where I work. So far it hasn't been an issue. But let's say if I got a different job down the line and they may not have covered parking, then it would probably be more of an issue.
Your interior is gray. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that will help fend off the heat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Was your last interior gray as well?
It was.
Mm-hmm. But the average summer high in Phoenix is?
Right now it's, today's actually a cooler day. We're in our monsoon period, so it's kind of weird weather. But pretty much summer is always 100 and above. And right now, I think it was the other day it was 115.
Oh, no, stop.
Does that appeal to you, RT Cruiser? Is that something that you would rather have instead of that frigid 55?
As long as there's no humidity, I'm fine with the heat.
Right. And that's what part of the monsoon is that it's not a lot of humidity, but it's a little bit. Like it wants to rain and there's a lot of dust in the air. So right now my car, I'm glad I had that one photo to send to you of my car because that's when I first picked it up. Because right now my car is filthy.
Oh, no.
Because it...
From the rains.
Right. Because it just spits rain and then there's dirt everywhere. So...
Oh, dear.
I thought that was like, oh, no.
I feel your pain. I have to tell you a story about my poor beloved cars. Now, those of you who are familiar with the Pink Wheelnuts podcast, you know that my cars are the most important thing in the world. And we've been having a lot of repairs around here, and I've not been able to access my garage. If you've been following me on Twitter, you'll have seen the pictures that I've been posting recently of my garage, which has been completely taken over by the construction crew that have been fixing my house, which is they've done a fantastic job. But it pains me deeply because my cars have to sleep outside, and this is very hard on me. I don't know if I can express to you how difficult this is for me, but
you didn't put your blankie on them or anything?
Well, for a period of time, one or two of them have had their blankies on.
Okay, good.
But they can't all have their blankies on all the time. So my poor BMW has been just horribly, it's gotten horribly dirty. And today, for about most of the day today, I've been trying to clean my BMW. And so... And you saw the garage. The garage was in a state that I can barely describe. There's sawdust everywhere and tools, and it was just I was my prostate was having fits, shall we say.
So you sought treatment in vodka and interpretive dance? What?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
No, it was a scrub bucket.
Clean.
Now, Faye, if you had to give your construction guy nicknames, can you think of any nicknames you might have called them?
Absolutely. You know what? I love these guys. I have got two guys that have been here working on my house. They've been here for months, actually. But I would refer to them as Mutt and Jeff.
Really?
Does anybody know who Mutt and Jeff are from the old comic series from way back?
Mm-hmm.
So one of them was like this really big, tall, goofy guy, and one's a little short, little fella, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this completely describes my construction guys. One of them is missing a finger, and one of them is missing an eye. The guy that's missing an eye, he does all the cutting because all of his cuts are perfectly straight because he doesn't have to shut one eye to make sure everything's straight. So
wow.
the work they do is absolutely fantastic. And you know the guy who's missing a finger, I mean, he's got all the experience in the world. So these guys are absolutely awesome.
And so did they do well around Max? And
oh, they love Max. You know, Max is pretty docile. And Max was laying out in the yard and getting in their way, and he was sniffing their lunch. You know, they'd sit in the backyard and have lunch and eat pizza and whatever. And I don't think they actually fed Max, but Max was a great ambassador for us, I think.
And they were there on your property for a month.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of work going on around here. I had actually hoped to start my deck project in April, which I intended to start. And these guys came over and they, you know, they were looking at the project and going, yeah, we're going to have to do this and this and this. And then they said, hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong over here on the side of your house. And they discovered that my house was falling off of its foundation.
Oh, mercy. Mm-hmm.
And there was a bunch of, I've been dealing with a lot of rot. You know, in Vancouver, we have a lot of water, like rain and stuff like that. And there were a few problems with my house. So they spent the month of April fixing the more serious structural problems and rot problems with my house. And then after I recovered from that, we started up the deck project. And then so for the month of July, they've been here working on the deck. So, they haven't been here for a full month, but the project has taken me a month to get everything happening, right?
Mm.
Now, is the deck bigger than it was before, or is it just looked that way because the fence, you know, the...
Yeah, the railings.
It's gone.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's just a replacement of the existing deck. However, they've been doing... There are a lot of structural problems with my house because the builders who built my house and the whole deck slash garage was an addition to the original house. So whoever built the deck garage slash kitchen of my house, they did it really poorly. So those guys, my construction crew, have been Mutt and Jeff, that is, have been fixing a bunch of problems with the poor construction that occurred who knows when in 1991 or something like that. So not only has it been a deck rebuild, but it's also been, the structural underpinnings of the deck as well. But let me just say this. I am extremely impressed with Mutt and Jeff. They do fantastic work. They've brought my house back up to code, quote-unquote code. And so I feel very confident that my house is once again sound. And they built me this beautiful deck. And later on this evening, I'll try to tweet out some photos of the new deck. Anybody who's been following me on Twitter at Faye Driver has probably seen some of the photos that I've been posting about the deck reconstruction. But anyway, I'm very happy and I'm very pleased with the new deck, and I'm very happy to have this deck project almost finished.
I just in my mind, there are two extra men on the compound.
Well, yeah.
I can just imagine the Faye Driver household is just batty.
No.
Between Max going, oh, extra people, and husband, well, being husband. And you're trying to keep a handle on everything. I'm surprised we didn't hear stories coming out of Vancouver. Strange homeowner stabs workers with a kitchen knife. Or
No, my workers, I love my workers, except for the nails and the screws. Oh. You know how we have a lot of cars around the compound here? Mm-hmm. And you know how nails get into tires? Mm. These guys, you know, this drives me crazy. The guy would pull a nail out of his pocket and look at it and see, oh, you know what? I don't like the look of this nail. And he'd just toss it over his shoulder. And it would go flying into the driveway or into the garage or whatever. So I cannot tell you how many screws and nails I have picked up from these guys.
Did you just see his face the first time he saw Mutt and Jeff throw a nail? He just that moment where he was going...
His heart pumping out of his chest.
Absolutely. I have swept my garage and my driveway like 18 times looking for nails.
That you need to go to Princess Auto and get one of the magnet things.
I do. I absolutely do. So it's been a wonderful adventure. So right now we're just waiting for the railings to arrive. They're being manufactured. It's going to be 3 weeks for railings. We're having some windows installed. We have a new sliding glass door off of our kitchen. For those of you who've been here at the castle, you'll know what I'm talking about. So yeah, I have to say I'm so happy and the project has been going really well, and I absolutely love my construction guys, Mutt and Jeff, despite the nails being tossed all around the house.
Are you getting the screen door that has the doggy door part of it?
No, there's no doggy door. This is a cool screen door, though, because it opens on both sides. So mm-hmm. You know how typically you just have one sliding door in your glass screen door? Mm-hmm. This one, actually, both sides will open. You can either open the left side or the right side, which is kind of cool.
Cool.
Very mm-hmm. nice. Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you very much. Now, Brenda, the last time you were on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, you were having some troubles with your car. It was making a bunch of noise.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
Do you want to tell us about what came of this? You took it into the shop and you discovered what the problem was. So what happened there?
Well, you and I were talking, and you had asked me, so what's going on with your car? And I said, nothing, same as it was before. And you go, you need to get that in the shop. And I'm like, all right. So we asked our neighbor and got a recommendation, and I took it in. And the guy says, well, I'm going to take it around the block. I said, well, I think it's a wheel bearing. My neighbor looked at it, you know her, blah, blah, blah.
And I would just like to point out that The Pink Wheelnuts Garage recommended to you that it was probably a wheel bearing that was going mm-hmm. on your car.
That's right. So he's gone not very long. He comes back and he goes, yeah, how long has that noise been going on? I said, oh, well, it's been going on quite a while, quite a few months. Yeah, that's really noisy. And he says, I think it's a wheel bearing, but let me pop it up. And he goes and he comes back real quick and he goes, yeah, that's what it is. He says, now how much driving do you do a day? And I said, well, you know, about 10 miles. He's like, do you go out on the highway? I said, well, sometimes, but not really very often. And he doesn't say anything. I said, are you saying I shouldn't go on the highway? No, I don't think you should drive it at all, actually. I went, oh, okay, dokie. So we made an appointment, and he gave me a very reasonable estimate. And then in the same breath, Eric comes home and says, the brakes went out on the truck. And I'm like, well, fuck me. Can both the cars break down at the same time? So his were catastrophic brake failure.
Yes. And we're going to find out about this mm-hmm. a little later on after we hear about your repair.
But okay. See, they all kind of tie in.
Yeah. Oh.
So I'm letting the storyteller continue.
So, but one thing I wanted to tell you was that this mechanic, who is probably about my age, and he's a very nice man, and his garage was very much like, when you think of a garage, it was like, it wasn't like fancy. There was a single kind of punk looking lady as the receptionist. It was filthy dirty. It's one of these kind of places. And he comes in after driving my car, and he says, well, gee, that was fun. I've never driven a stick shift before. And I look at him what? And I said, what? I said, what? why are you lying to me? And he's like, oh, well, I was just teasing. He thought he could fool me with this show. Oh. I'm not driving. Right, a mechanic. You never drive in a clutch. And anyway, so I thought that was kind of cute.
Oh,
and
nice.
So then Eric took his truck to a dealership to get a estimate. And they came back with this astronomical figure of
$900. $962.
Yeah. And yeah, we need to know. We need to know exactly what this estimate was for.
They said it was brake lines that needed to be redone and the back, I want to say cylinder, needed to be replaced in the back wheels. And then with fluid and labor, it was going to come to like $962.
Oh. Hmm.
And I went, crap. So I called.
So I said, yeah, he told me. I said, could you please get a second estimate on this? Can you take it to this Kirby guy? And then, so we tell the dealership we don't want them to do the work, and he's really put out. He's like, I got it up on the lift. Blah, blah, blah. And fuck you. $100 later to get it back from the dealership.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So we take it to this guy, and he goes, oh, yeah, I can do it for $528.
Uh-huh. Same yeah. job?
Same job.
Same job.
So we're still looking at $900 total.
Oh, yeah.
For both vehicles now, though.
But one of the other things about the redeeming qualities of this mechanic was he said, I can't let you take this truck and drive it at all. And Eric's like, well, I don't know when I can pay for it. You know, can you hang on to it? And he's like, well, I don't do this normally, but I'm going to let you make some payments because in all good conscience, I can't let you drive away with this truck. Mm-hmm. Now, we were able to figure out, paid it off all at once. But when Eric called and told me that, I almost started crying because I was just like, oh my God, that's so sweet. So
this is the same guy that did your wheel bearing then?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, lovely.
Yep. So they're both fixed, and I think we found a good mechanic.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. We're very happy to hear that you're both, well, that the noise, the death car... Mobile is fixed.
Hey, there's more. Uh-huh. So I go to pick up my car, and she says, you need a new timing belt.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, if your timing belt breaks, you're going to need a whole new engine. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. And then she says, you also need a new water pump. Really? Well, thank you so much. And how much will that cost? Another $800. I'm just like, so those are sitting waiting, but
don't worry about that timing belt too much. Well, how many miles are on your car?
110.
Yeah, it's just because it's at the time when you would normally do a timing belt. Unless your car's not running right or you know
it's nice and smooth.
It's a preventive maintenance thing that they like to do is to change timing belts at 100,000 miles. So you can wait a little while, like maybe 6 months, to do a timing belt. And the reason they say to do the water pump at the same time, is your water pump leaking? Are you having any leaks?
Not that we know of, not that we can see.
Yeah. It's because in order to do the timing belt, they have to take the water pump off. And so typically what happens is if you have any water pump problems, then they'll recommend you do the timing belt at the same time because the two jobs are really easy to do together. Otherwise, you would be like paying $800 twice. Uh-huh. So it's about $600 to do a timing, $600 to do a water pump. And then since you're in there and the water pump, you take off everything that gives you access to the timing belt, and when you take the water pump off, the timing belt is right there, and they just say do your timing belt right now, because if you were to do the timing belt by itself, it would be another $800, and they'd be taking the water pump off and all that stuff. So it's good to do them both at the same time. But if you're not having problems with your water pump, don't even worry about it. And the timing belt is a preventive maintenance thing only. So unless you're having any serious problems, don't worry about it too much. But it is something that you want to consider doing because, as she says, if your timing belt does break, then it'll completely fuck up your engine and it'll be much costlier than $800.
Yeah. And who wants to put that much money in a 2004 Honda Civic, for God's sakes?
Right. You could trade it in on a 2014 Hyundai Elantra.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
They're very sporty.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I see it was an automatic, though. What's up with that?
I drive automatic, sorry.
Just teasing.
But did you notice that it sort of is designed to look like it's not?
Yeah, I had to do a double take.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. RT was giving me so much shit one night about, oh no, he's giving Peter shit. He says, you mean you can't drive a clutch? Even Brenda can drive a clutch. Ooh. Sorry, Faye. Took over your show for me.
No, not at all. How do you like that new Elantra anyway, Brian?
I like it a lot. I should mention that my old car, the air conditioning has been broken for about 2 years.
Oh.
So I'm loving air conditioning again.
Oh my God, no air conditioning in Arizona.
Right.
You just drove that all, seriously.
Well, he had covered parking, he says.
Yeah, but think about it. Every time he went into work, he shut the windows. He locked it. It was baking in that desert sun all
So
day.
How many babies did you kill, Brian?
That's so dark.
Do you get the ones that have the little
dolphins
things so that when they get to the certain level of doneness, the little button comes up?
They have the little Well, do you want to hear a funny story about how hot it gets here in Arizona?
Wait, yes.
So for the last, what?
How hot is it?
Oh. So I've been with this company that I've been at for about 5 years now. And every summer for the last 5 years, we pick one day in the summer that we predict will be very, very hot. And we actually bake cookies in our car that day.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're going to be doing this next week because it slipped our minds. One of my coworkers who used to herald this project is no longer there. So I remembered that we did this. And so we're going to do it next week sometime. And we're going to bake cookies in a VW bug.
Tweet a picture of those said cookies, would you?
Oh, I will. And my friend who, we always do it in her car. She loves it because her car for like a week and a half smell like cookies. Oh. It's like the best air freshener.
Now, so just what kind of cookies do you make? Or is there a collection of different styles?
They usually just get the pre-made ones in the store that tear off or whatever.
The Doughboy, what's that kid?
The Pillsbury.
Boy, yeah.
Last year they tried to make some gluten-free ones, and I don't think they turned out very well.
Where's Wes?
So I imagine this year, I think most of the gluten-free people aren't in work anymore. So we'll just make the regular ones again. Well, cause we didn't like the gluten-free ones. They kind of didn't bake very well.
Mm. What if you'd gone to the grocery store and bought some cottage cheese and forgot it in your car all day long?
Brenda Boo.
Yes, Brian.
How dare you bring up my food phobia?
You told us that lots. Can't give us ammunition like that.
Cottage cheese?
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand cottage cheese. It's but gross.
It's just you're not afraid of it. You just don't like it.
There's a little bit of fear there.
There's a little bit of fear, yeah. It makes me queasy just to think about it. And like I told them on Lotso at the time, I don't even know in the store where it's kept because... Like I have a blindness to it now.
So when you're traveling near the, I don't know, milk or the sour cream.
There's just a black void where it normally would be, I'm guessing.
The back of your brain.
Don't look, Brad! Don't look!
But I recently ate at a restaurant. Actually, it was right after I bought my car. I texted a friend of mine and I said, I've been at the dealership for like 4 hours. I'm starving. Let's go get lunch. And so I went and picked her up in my car, and then we went to this restaurant, and I ordered some sort of chicken sandwich they had. And when it came to me, it had the chicken sandwich, it had a little paper bag of French fries, and then a little something else that looked like potato salad, like a very creamy potato salad.
Yum.
And so I thought it was my lucky day because I get French fries and potato salad. Like, bring on the carbs. And so I took my fork and I got a little bit of the potato salad and I put it in my mouth and then I put my fork down. I said, this is not potato salad. And so I waved the person over and I asked him what it is. And he said it was local artisanal cottage cheese.
Artisanal cottage cheese.
And then I placed it on the far side of the table, far away from me.
Oh, dear.
So I actually have consumed some Phoenix-made cottage cheese recently.
Of all places in the world, you think of a desert, and you're like,
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, you know, they've got a large goat community there. Artisanal, so it's probably like goat cottage cheese.
It was terrible.
It's donkey.
It was terrible.
Don't be llama cottage cheese.
What'd you say? So,
I said it could be llama cottage cheese.
Llama ding dong.
So, Brian, now, how did you find your buying experience with the dealer? You went directly to the Hyundai dealer, and I guess since you had a Hyundai before, you traded in your old Hyundai to get this one?
I did. It was sort of a mixed bag. I went through my employer, they have a relationship with the True Car pricing.
What this is, okay, scam away. What's the True Car pricing?
It's a service that allows you to like help you negotiate the car before you get there or something. I don't know. I had like a piece of paper that said like, this is what I want. But when I got there, that didn't seem to really matter.
No.
It was okay. There was a little bit of that like car dealership theatrics, you know, where they come and say, oh, they're working really hard and trying to get you, and that kind of thing, which is annoying. I should also mention, this is right before I was getting sick. I was actually sick in the car dealership. Like, I kept having them bring me bottles and bottles of water because I was very dehydrated and not feeling well. But it was like the only day that I had to do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Now let's just back up a bit here.
Okay.
So you live a busy lifestyle. you work a lot. You have a lot of extracurricular activities. You're always going out with friends or to the movies or something like that. I don't know what it is you do exactly, but you decided that you have a day or a day and a half to buy a car. And you forecasted this 2 weeks into the future. You had on your calendar, today I'm going to the Hyundai dealer to get a new car.
Well, what it is that my old car was starting to, it was starting to fall apart. Now, understandably, you know, it was that point where things were starting to need to be repaired. And I've been doing that for like 2 or 3 years now. Mm-hmm. But the last time I went in, they gave me just the longest laundry list of things, like, and things that I knew that were coming too. Like, I knew my engine mount was about to be broken.
Like wheel bearings and brake cylinders.
Right. So I said, what is the most important thing that will keep this car going for another couple of weeks? And it was the CV joints.
Oh, yes.
And so I got those replaced. And then,
at a considerable expense. Not cheap.
Not cheap, but I found a coupon for the Pep Boys. And so it saved me 20%, which was very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And then... the engine mount was starting to knock around, and the check engine light came on for the first time because I think the engine mount was tripping a sensor. So nothing was like bad with going on with my engine, but it was causing me stress seeing that little engine light on every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew I needed to get a new car in 2 weeks.
The check engine light is a great selling feature.
It is. Well, like I said, in the 12 years I've had this car, it never once come on.
Oh, good.
So that's why it was freaking me out. And so I was just like, I'm done with this car. I'm getting a new one. So plus I had a conversation with a friend of mine and I said, you know, I just don't enjoy driving this car anymore. I really need to get a new one.
Right. And so how is the driving experience of the 2014 Hyundai Elantra?
It's really nice. It's very comfortable. I have to admit, I am enjoying the free trial of Sirius XM radio that I have for 90 days. I mostly listen to 80s in the car or podcasts.
As we can see in the picture I posted previously, mm-hmm. your favorite podcast appears to be the Pink Wheelnuts podcast.
It was that day, yes.
Every time Faye gets a picture of somebody's dash, it has your podcast on it. How did that happen?
I know. It's absolutely terrific. Thank you.
You're welcome. Of course, the first one I played was my own, just to see, so I could see my little logo on the screen.
That is lovely. I think that's fantastic, actually, that kind of stuff pops up. I'm a little bit jealous. I want to ask you now, maybe you can just describe your car to us for those who don't know what an Elantra is. Is it a two-door, four-door? Do you know what size engine you have?
Oh, I probably couldn't tell you the engine, but...
Yeah. Four cylinders?
It is a four-door.
Uh-huh.
I think technically it's known as a sedan. It is... I will say this about it. Like, having had one before and having this one... I see like all the improvements they've made over the year. The trunk is huge on this car. Like it's enormous. And now the seats also fold back so you can put in larger things in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And my old car didn't do that at all.
Put a lot of junk in the trunk.
Mm-hmm. There's also a safety feature. If somebody gets locked in my trunk, there is a little latch that they can fish out and release themselves. I saw that in the manual.
You can undo that because when you got them Justin Bieber duct taped up, the last thing you want is to let them get free. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I have a 20-year-old Asian boy locked in my trunk right now, actually.
Oh, yeah. The one thing that isn't there that I would say if I had my druthers and could like say I want one additional thing added to this car is I'm used to my old car on the left-hand side of the wheel. There was a little like ashtray that I kept change in. And there is no compartment there. There's some buttons and it looks like there's a place that there could be one, but it's not there. So... I don't know where I'm going to put my loose change in the car right now.
Right. Saw and a power drill.
Do they put ashtrays in new cars?
There is none there. There's lots of compartments and things, but I don't see one that looks like it's meant for change. Actually, no, I think there is one in the center console. Now that I think about it, there's a little square space there.
Remember the old LTDs that had like ashtrays everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
The back seat, yeah.
In the back of the front seat.
Yeah.
And had it in, you know.
Yeah, I've smoked
one's up. Got one on every door. And a lighter.
And they would light up when you open them. They had a little light in them.
Mm-hmm. But no, most new cars now, the ashtray is optional. Just like a little cylinder thing that sits into the drink holder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, right. Yes. Well, fantastic. We're very happy for you, Brian, with your new car. And thank you for coming on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage to share it with us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for asking me.
So, folks, we're going to wind down the show here. I just want to make a couple of notes about Pride 48 Las Vegas. You know it's coming up. It's going to be from September 19th to the 21st, 2014. I'm sure many of us are already lined up for attending. But if you haven't already gone over to pride48.com and filled out the census information there, if you're coming to Pride 48, and if you haven't gotten your reservation already at the Excalibur, the reservation code has been extended until well into August. I believe it's August 18th now. that you can reserve your Pride 48 room up to, please go over to pride48.com and reserve your room, and then let everybody know that you're coming by filling out the census form. I want to talk about the Pride 48 shuttle. As you know, in Pride 48 Las Vegas this year, the Pride 48 shuttle will be in operation. So if you have a request, you need the Pride 48 shuttle to pick you up from the airport or to transport you anywhere, maybe it's from the Excalibur to some show that you're going to some evening, please send your Pride 48 shuttle requests in. You can do that by sending an email message to pride48shuttle@pinkwheelnuts.com, or you can follow at pride48shuttle on Twitter, and you can make a direct message request to the Pride 48 shuttle for a ride. You can see all of the information about the Pride 48 shuttle if you go to my website, which is pinkwheelnuts.com. Look for Pride 48 shuttle in the very, very top right-hand corner. You'll see a link to the Pride 48 shuttle information, and you can go there to find out what information we'd like to know if you're making a Pride 48 shuttle request. Now, something a little new this year for the Pride 48 shuttle in Las Vegas is I'm looking for volunteer drivers to do shuttle runs to the airport and what have you. So if you would like to help out the shuttle and be a volunteer driver, please send a message to pride48shuttle@pinkwheelnuts.com indicating that you'd like to be a driver, and I will enlist your help to help me pick up all the people who are coming to Pride 48 this year. Lots of comments in the chat room about bathhouse runs. Absolutely, there will be bathhouse runs if that's what that's what people need. So yeah, thanks everybody, and send your requests in.
Is everyone here is going to Pride 48 this year in Vegas, right?
No.
Almost everybody's going to Pride 48 this year.
Yay.
So does anybody have anything else for the show tonight? Any other comments or congratulatory messages?
Yay to everybody.
Maybe, yay. Eric, you can read out who's joining us here at the end of the show in the chat room on pride48.com.
It's amazing, though. What I'm going to do is my best interpretation. I am going to impersonate my wife reading the names. In
Big Daddy, Daniel Brewer, Jimmy Bear, Musing Mark, and then us.
It took 18 years, but I think I've perfected it.
Can you do that drinking a glass of water?
I'll sip the soda. Here, watch this.
Big Fatty, Daniel Brewer, Jimmy Bear, and us.
That's amazing.
No.
Really, it should have been.
That was great.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, in the chat room on Pride 48. Come back again next Friday. We'll have another episode of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage here on Pride 48. And join us in about 6 weeks. Is that what it is? 6 to 7 weeks in Las Vegas, where the Pride 48, the Pink Wheelnuts Garage will be live coming to you from Las Vegas for a show. I want to thank my guests who joined me tonight. Brian from the Game Night Guys, thanks for joining us tonight. Brian, can you tell us where people can find you on the internets?
On GameNightGuys.com. It's all there.
Very, very good. And congratulations on your new car. We're very happy for you.
Thank you.
RT Cruiser, where can we find you?
Just on the Twitters at RT Cruiser.
And you're going to be coming to Pride 48 Las Vegas as well, right?
So we'll see you there. Yes.
And apparently it's in 48 days, according to Daniel Brewer. Eric Boo, how can we find you, sir?
Mondays through Fridays, you can log on to kmryradio.com and join me. You can also find me on Facebook, Eric Walker.
Now, I guess the only person who can be what do I usually say? The man, the person who always has the last word is going to be Brenda Boo tonight. So before she gets on the horn here, let me just say I am the Faye Driver. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. You can find me at pinkwheelnuts.com. And Brenda, who will have the last word tonight, where can we find you?
You can find me nattering away at helloagain@brendaboo.com.
Seriously, that was the last word for you?
You caught me off guard. I didn't know what the
for fuck now.
Hello, Pink Whale Nuts Garage.
Does anybody have a pithy comment for the end of the show?
Eric sucks.